You know what? It probably was the same size. It's just our memory.
No, 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 no.
You say no?
Howdy, y'all, and welcome to the old Sneaky Dragon Ranch. I'm Ian.
And my name is David.
And I reckon we're going to have ourselves a nice Western show today.
Saddle up to the, the corral there, partner, and watch the bucking broncos.
Absolutely. Now, Dave and I are both on our horses. Mine is a filly named Philly. Well, that's... Now, Philly, when I say Philly, wow. It's a filly with an F, but her name's Philly with a PH for my love of the Philly cheesesteaks. Now, what's your horse called, Dave?
My horse is a roan. Gelding, because I don't ride horses that have emotions. I prefer one that's had its hormones curtailed, and his name is Granite.
Now your horse is gelded because you ride very badly.
And you gelded
that horse. You thought you could jump over that prickle bush, and by gosh, you couldn't. Now you got a gelding there.
Well, of course, in the West, no one took better than an insult about the riding. Of course, that's them shooting words, and I believe that we're going to have to draw on this, partner.
All right, let's get out our pads.
and pencils.
All right, and I'm going to do a caricature of...
I have to say, your accent's slipping.
That's all right, I can't do an accent and draw at the same time. I'm going to do a caricature of a Donald Trump. What are you going to draw there, Dave?
I'm going to do something similar. I'm going to do a caricature of an Adolf Hitler.
All right, let's just do... And our pictures match!
That's amazing!
Woo!
Thing ever.
And breaking character.
Breaking character.
Hi, everybody. I'm Ian. This is David. That was our nonsense start to the thing. We are in the West.
We have the worst starts.
We're in the Canadian.
Of any podcast.
Absolutely. The first 10 minutes is garbage. Fast forward. That's what I will say. But then we'll get into something interesting, I'm sure. Oh, okay. Go ahead.
The first 10 minutes of every other podcast is garbage
trash,
because
yeah.
It's Squarespace ads.
Yeah.
Ours is garbage because it's just us.
Right.
That's the embarrassing part. Like, we don't even have Squarespace ads or Audible.com or that guy with the razor blades or MailChimp or any of these other popular
right. I wonder if you could use things. Harry's razor blades to shave MailChimp.
That's a good question.
When MailChimp comes over, you just go give him a shave and then he looks like a little person.
And doesn't that seem like...
And then feed him some of your Nature Box snacks because that all seems like pineapples and stuff that like an ape would enjoy to eat.
You know, you've just said something interesting. I heard the commercials, obviously, but I don't really pay attention to them very closely. In fact,
right.
I usually press my 30 seconds ahead button.
Absolutely, that's what it's for.
As people are doing right now and not listening to us.
Sure, please.
But Harry's razor
blades.
And that's
the secret.
What's the secret?
Just in case someone pushed like a little while ago and then they go, oh, now I got to listen back and see what that secret was.
Okay. And that was the murderer. But I just think Harry's razor blades, that seems wrong. Right?
Because he's Harry?
Yeah. And your razor blades. Like, that seems weird.
You
know, think so?
It feels like that is the name of an old-timey barber, which is what they're going for. It's like, it's Harry.
Okay.
And it's like, it's kind of funny that his name's Harry. It's like, but here's the thing. When you're coming up with your name for your, let's say you're coming up with your name for your salon.
Yeah.
And you go like, hey, let's call ourselves Curl Up and Die, D-Y-E. And you go like, that's hilarious. Or there's one that used to be at the mall, the Hair Force. And it's like
okay.
A picture of a, and there's like, there was actually like a airplane seat for kids and stuff. Oh, that's hilarious. And it grates on you.
I thought it was
going to
be an airplane with a beard.
Sure, why not?
That was her logo.
But it grates on you week two. You're like, well,
yeah.
This name is terrible. Mm-hmm. So you want a name that sounds like it might almost be a joke.
Yeah.
But not really. So it's like,
yeah.
When you go like, it's Harry's Razors. Oh, I kind of, yeah, it's fine. And then like week five, it's just Harry's. Who cares? It's fine. Everything's all right. Don't worry about it. Moving on.
The main event. Mm-hmm. That was a hairdressing place when I was a kid.
Was that right?
Yeah.
I thought they were talking about the Barbara Streisand movie.
But the thing is...
With Chris Christopherson, where they're both boxing.
I think you're thinking... Oh, no. That's Chris Christopherson. I was going to say Ryan O'Neill.
And
isn't that Ryan O'Neill?
Oh, it might be. Well, maybe I'm thinking of A Star Is Born.
Yeah, that's Chris Christopherson.
Both posters, I think, have Barbara Streisand showing a lot of shoulder. Like, a lot of shoulder there.
I think it's more a lot of her, because the Ryan O'Neill one, they're both, like, full figured. And those were the days where you wore your short shorts.
Okay.
He did that film. What's weird about them is you feel like they did a lot of films together.
Okay.
Because I always think, well, I know they did What's Up, Doc, the fabulous Peter Bogdanovich screwball comedy.
Sure.
Have you seen that one?
I think I have as a kid, yes.
Fabulous film.
Okay.
Fabulous film.
As a cartoon opening with Bugs Bunny. Of course, I'd watch that.
I think it's a cartoon. Is it the cartoon opening and ending then? Because it ends with the, we really mean it. What's da 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 up? That,
okay.
Oh, they're watching on the plane, which seems strange.
There you go. That's the endings, folks.
Well, I didn't, you know, come on. I didn't really, sorry, I spoiled that movie from the 1970s, everybody. And so that's a great film. But then and then I feel like they did the main event, the boxing movie. And I always feel like they did a movie called So Fine together, but I don't think that they did. Okay. I think they only did those two films. But because they did those two films, you feel like, oh man, there's so many Ryan O'Neill, Barbra Streisand films. So Fine was the film where he's like, it's like a dying company and they invent pants that have see-through bottoms.
Oh, yes.
But
yes,
I don't think that that's Barbra Streisand. But I know it is. I know Ryan O'Neill is in it.
Okay.
Well, he went through kind of a little purple period there in the 80s because he did those films. Then he did that weird one with John Hurt where John Hurt was a gay...
Yeah, Partners. Least,
yeah, Partners, that's right.
That's right, okay. And there are so many things...
I shouldn't say Purple Patch because none of those films are very good, but I just mean that his career kind of had a bit of...
Man, there are a lot of things called the main event. So many.
Barbershops.
Oh, wait, there we go. Here, I'm getting the poster up for...
Remember to spell it M-A-I-N,
not M-A-N-E. Yeah, you're right. There's Ryan. There you go. Yeah, it's...
But look up So Fine.
I will
look
up.
Since you're cheating and we're looking up stuff rather than just guessing wildly.
This is not cheating. This is what all the quality podcasts do.
You're taking away the role that our listeners play of correcting us. And I think they're all resenting
it. Oh, don't worry. You'll say enough stuff that they'll have lots of room to correct you. Don't worry about it. So I'm looking up So Fine.
I did not get corrected last week. You got corrected on your GG, outrageous GG statements.
No, you got corrected. You haven't checked the page today.
Sorry. Oh, okay.
I think you will find that you have, in fact, been corrected. So it's a Ryan.
Oh, that's good.
It's a Ryan O'Neill film.
Is that yeah, correct? Ryan O'Neill.
Okay.
So Fine.
He was saying your book was inaccurate.
My book?
Yes, your book on movies was inaccurate.
Oh.
We'll look that up in just a second.
Yeah, I'll have to check that out.
All right, it's a 1981 film.
Yeah.
There we go. There's the shot of the butt. Okay. What do you want to know, David?
Oh, I'm just curious. I don't think Barbra Streisand's in that with him. I think it's a different actress.
No, she is not. Jack Warden is. Mm. Richard Kiel is.
Mm.
Mary Angelina Malaro.
Yeah, there you go. She plays the other role in that. But it's interesting, right? They only did two films together, but if you said Ryan O'Neill and Barbra Streisand, you'd be like, oh man, they were like a team.
Yeah.
Movie team.
It feels like there was less movies. That's probably not true, but it feels like if you mention movies from a certain point, people go, oh yeah, I know that. But there's so many movies now that you'd mention a movie and people go, what? Unless it's like one of the huge ones.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I suppose right. There must have been all these B movies that came out like in the 70s totally. That we're not even remembering right
and
now.
And the 40s and the 30s and whatever, yes. There's lots of filler that came out at one time or another.
All right, I'm looking up what you got wrong. why don't you monologue about how you're doing with your life? Go.
How am I doing with my... Well, actually, I was thinking about this today. You know, I got a new job. And, you know, like any job, when you just kind of get thrown into the deep end.
Right.
And they're just like, you know, you got this and you have to do that. And so what we do at my job is you get a pick sheet and then you go around and either you're doing like a local shipment or you're doing a shipment that's going to be shipped out of the...
And these are doors.
Areas, yes. And they're all garage doors.
Right.
So they can be 6 feet long, they can be 9 feet long, they can be 16 feet long. Right. It just depends on
By the
how
way,
big the
if
doors.
Dave gets murdered in his job, yeah. The police officer will come and go, it's an open and shut case. That's what it'll say. Go ahead.
So then...
been watching a lot of CSI.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You didn't take your glasses off when you said that.
I'm not wearing glasses.
You should take your contacts
take
out.
Take my eyeballs out?
Just take your contacts out.
Pop them.
Are you saying you're not wearing contacts? Well, that's right. You have your eyes.
No, I do have my eyes.
Your eyes were lasered.
I do have my eyes.
Your eyes were lasered. I forgot
that.
Yes,
my eyes are lasered. That's how they say it. Go ahead.
So then, so I was thinking this the other day, though, because, you know, when you first go, sorry, of course, you're just like totally confused. Nothing makes any sense. And then the other day, I was looking at my pick sheet. I'm like, oh, I need, you know, I need a 9 foot full brace tracks. I need a set of a torsion bar. And, you know, I'm just like, everything's like, seems familiar. You know, like, I'm not like thinking to myself, what is that thing?
So
that
now
I'm,
you're getting cocky. Now you're that.
Now I'm going to make a lot of mistakes.
Good.
Because that's the point I'm at now. You know, where you go from your learning and you make a lot of mistakes
mm-hmm.
to your being very careful and not making mistakes.
Right.
To you thinking you know what you're doing and then you just fuck it up over and over again. So yeah, that's
to the point
bad.
Where someone gets murdered and then the police officer
police
goes.
Officer comes. What does it say?
Looks like an open and shut case.
There's nothing.
Because it's in a garage
say.
Door factory.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. All right.
And unless, so anyway. Unless you were killed, unless you were killed this way, inside the garage.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a door, but if inside the garage by like, you know, passed out.
Yeah.
And it'd be like, he's exhausted. Could be that.
Okay.
Could be that, right?
How about if I just run over because he's feeling tired?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Or if maybe you died while having sex in a car.
Yeah.
And it was like autoerotic. Could be something like that. We could do that kind of deal. Okay. But basically, I'd say your safest bet is
open.
It's an open and shut case.
It's an open and shut case. All right. So all then. Right.
Okay, go ahead. And then I'll tell you what your mistake was.
So, for instance, today I was well, it's kind of complicated. Like,
all right, start at the beginning.
I had to make a 6 foot.
Rembrandt.
I had to make a 6 foot ten door.
6 foot ten door.
All the doors are made of four pieces.
Okay.
So that would mean there's 3 21 inch pieces. And 1 19 and a quarter piece.
All right, I'm going to ask our mathematician if his math checks out. His math check out? Yeah. Okay. Our mathematician is a mouse.
It's a mouse. Mathematic mouth. Mouse. Mathematic. I can't say it. Mathematic mouse. I did say it that time, but the first time was a failure, obviously.
Which is strange because you hired him.
I know, and I because I thought.
Why don't you just call him Math Mouse?
I thought I was hiring a mouth, not a mouse. So then, so what I had to do was take 3 doors that are 21 inches from one pack and repackage them with a 19 and a quarter door and then rewrap that on the, we have a big wrapping machine that, you know, of course it says, I'm a wrapping machine and I'm here to say, all wrapping machines wrap this way.
Because it's from the 80s.
Yes. And so then I had to do that 18 times because we had 20 doors that this person ordered. We did 2 for...
This person wanted 20 doors.
Yeah, we did 2 as demos, so I'd already taken those.
Okay.
And so I had to put together the other 18 doors. And so that was kind of fun, actually. And it's, you're kind of, but you're doing stuff that before, like if someone said, don't forget your bead rubber and you need your retainer strip, I'd be like, I don't know what you're talking about.
You would say, I'm not that kind of fella.
Yeah, that's right. But now I'm just like...
Please, I'm a married man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now I'm just like... You know, it's as easy as can be, right? Like, I have no problem.
Oh, that's great. Okay.
But
it's still very heavy lifting, though, isn't it?
These aren't bad. These are only 9 foot long.
Okay. Just the last couple of shows, it looks like you've just come from lifting, like you're Atlas. You're coming in and you're like seeming very tired from the liftings.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I was working in the door in the commercial department. And what we were doing there is you're taking like these big 16 foot long slabs just by yourself, picking them up. And they're about 70 pounds each.
Right.
So you're like lifting them up in the air over your head and carrying them and putting them down. And then you're doing about 6 or 7 of those at a time and then cutting them down to different sizes.
Well, here's the thing.
It's a lot of work.
Like, I don't want you to mention the name of the place you work just in case you get in trouble. But talk to them and see if they want to sponsor our show. And
sure.
And just to give them an example of what we do for them, as Harry's or Nature Box or MailChimp would do, it would be something like this. It would be this kind of thing. It's just like, hey, folks, are you annoyed with raccoons coming in and taking your car because you have no door on your garage?
Who wouldn't be annoyed?
Hey, you know how you leave your snowblower in there and then someone goes, I'm taking it, and they take it and you can't do nothing? You're like, hey, where's my bike? Also stolen. Don't you hate that?
Yeah.
Or how about when you wake up in the morning and go into your garage, freezing cold because it's the same temperature as outdoors. Sucks. It's terrible.
You're pretty much describing our carport, by the way.
Yeah. Do you want to be one of these carport assholes? Hey, Porto, they say. Nice port, you fucking idiot. All right. No, normally wouldn't have fucking idiot in an ad, but for the sake of this.
It seems kind of like, extreme,
hey,
actually.
You stupid fuck. Stop having a fucking carport. You're bringing down the neighborhood values. Get a garage door.
Fucking
and then, well, now you can.
Yeah.
We can give you garage doors. What size you say? Any size, as long as it's divisible by 3 or
4.
Wait, you had 4 at 3 at one point, though.
Well,
you
no, did three. It was 3 and then 1.
Fuck the math. It's not your fault. We'll put a garage door on your
It can be
thing.
More than that.
Oh,
it
Jesus
can be
more Christ. Than yeah, 4. Whatever. Anyway.
It depends how big it is.
Now, you might be saying to yourself, but I ain't got a garage. All right, shut your fucking mouth. Here's what we can do for you. How about a garage door as your front door?
Yeah.
When you get home from work, oh, so tired. Do I have to put a key in a lock and turn it and pull it like I'm a monkey? Wait.
You were
going to
swear again in your commercial.
Stop it. Shut up.
Yeah.
Shut up, stupid. Here's what you need to do. You
I'll
walk up to
now.
Your door, remote control, click, door opens garage door style.
Yeah.
You walk in like your Skeletor.
Wait, did you make it open like it's a flat door that just goes up in the air?
Yeah.
Wow, that's old-fashioned.
Wouldn't that be great?
No. No, there's no doors that work like that anymore.
All right, how do doors work?
Well, they're in sections, so that they wind up and then they just curve at the top and follow the track, the curving track, and then and they sort of nestle up by
are
the ceiling.
Are you saying to me, if I walk into your establishment...
Yes.
And I go, excuse me, I'm an old-timey man.
I'm an old-timey man. Are you wearing a straw hat?
I am wearing a straw hat.
And a striped
and
vest?
And I have a cane. And I would like to now sing my grandfather's clock.
Some barbershop quartet.
My grandfather's clock was too big for the shelf. Long story short, when the guy died, the clock also stopped. Anyway.
Spoilers.
What I would like, yes, as an old-timey gentleman,
yes,
is to see the whitest employee you have. Secondly, I would like an old-timey door,
mm-hmm,
that goes straight up, mm-hmm, not... I don't want that newfangled bananas.
Yes, okay.
In fact, I want some old bananas. I want old bananas as well. I don't want those that are bent and look accurate. I want old-timey ones that I have to tear apart and are difficult to enter.
Yes, we have no bananas.
All right, sir, that's what I'd like. As an old-timey gentleman with a pocket full of shillings, can I get that at your establishment? Or should I have to go elsewhere's?
I don't think you could get that anywhere.
I say good day, sir.
Goodbye.
Yeah, and off we go.
Go back in your time machine to wherever you're from.
I'm not an old time man. Machine fellow. I'm old timey. I'm old myself. I got way the old fashioned way by aging.
Sorry, I didn't get you. Sorry. Seth has come to visit us.
Yes.
The cartoonist Seth has come and he wants a old fashioned straight door that as you lift it up, it pushes you backwards so that you can't stand as you lift
it. What do you think Seth thinks, by the way? When he sees like a modern day hipster who's dressed
like
old timey, who looks just like him, does he go, brother? Or does he go,
no,
fuck me, now I look modern.
Yeah,
now exactly. I couldn't look more damn modern.
Well,
damn it.
No.
This is all I've
I don't
got
think he thinks
look
either.
Wise.
No, doesn't think either.
What does he think?
Poser.
Do you think he can even use a word like poser in his head?
Yeah. Why couldn't he?
I don't know.
That's too deep.
I'm trying to think what
he's
would be the equivalent
guy.
Of poser from 1930s. What would a 1930s go just like, oh, a duplicator? What would they think?
I don't
something
think
like
he,
that?
I don't think he speaks.
What a shallow man.
I only don't think he speaks a 1930s talk. He doesn't walk around going 23 skidoo, daddy-o.
Mm-hmm.
I love my wife, but oh, you kid.
Fair enough. You wonder, do you think Seth has an iPhone?
No.
Do you think he has a cell phone?
No.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't think he has a cell phone?
No.
Interesting. All right. So here's what you got wrong last week. From Thomas Calloway.
Oh, Thomas.
Thomas says, Dave's book must be a misprint. The Graduate was released in 1967 and was nominated for Best Picture Oscar, but lost to In the Heat of the Night.
Okay. Well, what we were talking about were the Harvard kind of their worst movie awards at that point.
So we were not talking about the Oscars and Best Picture.
Yeah.
We were talking about Harvard.
We were talking about the Harvard. I think that's what we're talking about. Or we were looking at some other festivals or something like that. So it may have been just think like maybe it was released later in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have to look in the book again. That wasn't an Oscar one we were talking about then.
All right. So you're saying
Thomas
is a liar.
I'm not saying Thomas is a liar.
All right.
I'm sure he's right that 1967, and I'm glad that it received an Oscar
okay,
nomination.
Okay, but Thomas,
definitely
if David is incorrect,
yeah,
he owes you a mixtape.
I already do. He sent me 3 CDs. They're in the pile, everybody. When I finish the fucking title cards, I will make these things.
If those of you who haven't visited Dave's house, he's got a wood pile, and he just throws CDs onto it.
I throw them by the fireplace.
Every so often, he walks by it, and he openly weeps and goes, why did I make such promises?
No. I've been sort of working at it. I'm chipping away at it, but I really just got to get these stupid title cards.
And
out
I'm going to say this to you. If
please do.
I hope things work out with your job, but if they do not, here's my idea for you for a job. Making old-timey doors for garages that people would like.
Why would they like that?
Offer them the alternative.
Those doors were not very handy. That's why they created the more efficient
roll-up door. If they
weren't
so handy, why did so many people get their hands caught in them and crushed?
Well,
what's the problem?
That may have been maybe that's why they were handy.
Okay.
But not handy, if you know what I mean.
I completely know what
you
mean.
You understand what I'm saying.
Oh, I wanted to throw a little thing out here on a little bit of a serious note. If this is in the good thoughts department, Nardwar, who is a local radio personality, also much music.
Local legend.
He suffered a stroke. a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
He's in hospital at Vancouver General Hospital.
Yeah.
And I was on his radio show a couple of times. Mm-hmm. Very nice fella. Everyone's sending good wishes. And so if you're of the mindset to send good wishes and prayers and thoughts, please do so. And on Twitter, I think it's like hashtag Nardwar. If you want to like send your thoughts or just say things, you know, he likes that kind of stuff. So please do. Nice fella. Hope he gets well soon.
Yeah, 50 years old. Seems kind of young to be having a stroke.
Absolutely, yeah. But yeah, I used to go on a show at CITR semi-regularly. It was always a bizarre and fun time.
Okay.
And then he would go and interview people, and I'd go, I can't watch this because it's so awkward.
Yeah.
So awkward. I can't. Ooh, I'm getting chills. Can't watch it. No. No, don't talk to him. Stop talking.
But
people like that, and that's good for them, and people like it.
I don't mind if it's musicians, but if it's political figures where you feel like, I don't know, it just feels awkward. He did Justin Trudeau. He did attempt to kind of, I don't know what you call it, where he...
Nardwar him.
He Nardwar'd him. He went to Nardwar. Yeah.
But what did he, at what point was he talking to Justin Trudeau?
Like? When he was here in Vancouver on his electioneering tour.
Oh, so recently.
During
okay,
the election,
right.
yeah. He was asking him some questions, pointed questions,
mm-hmm.
about his mother. Things like that. I don't know if he had a book in his hand, wanted to give him a picture or something like that.
Yeah.
You know his shtick.
Some such.
Yeah.
Some such.
You know his shtick. And everyone went, no, go away. But I think he actually did answer the questions. And then when he went along a little too long, he's like, listen, I'll talk to you after. I'll give you more information after, but let's let other people ask
and
questions.
And you know he's young enough that he knows what Nardwar is.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah, unlike the older politicians who are like, I don't quite understand the situation. And should someone be dragging him away? And no. So, yeah. I like that we can have people in Canada. I think just in general, people in Canada can approach our politicians and ask them weird questions without being dragged away.
Yes. Yeah. It's very strange.
Right. I mean, everyone's doing the Trump bashing as they should. One of the things, you know, that I found kind of like, what? Was, you know, there's a rally, a guy speaks up, gets dragged away, and gets beaten up by security. I'm like, well, you can't do that. You can't beat people up for yapping.
Yeah.
You know, you can't do that. And I don't think that would happen here. I hope that wouldn't happen here. But no, you can take them away.
Well, that's because in Canada, we don't have freedom of speech. Unlike in the States where they have freedom of speech, that's why you get dragged away and beaten up.
That's right.
But here in Canada, we have no freedom of speech. So if you use your not right to speak, it's perfectly fine.
Right.
You know, because we like a paradox in Canada. That's what we like. Because we really do not have freedom of speech. You're not like in the States where you're guaranteed you can say any kind of crazy thing. And everyone's like, well, it's your right to say spout nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
Here in Canada, it's kind of like, well, you can spout nonsense up to a point.
Although in the States, you know, you say that, but, you know, you can't say that you want to injure a member of government in the States. You cannot say
that. No, that's
okay,
true.
So there's that. So that's a limitation.
Yep.
And two, you can say anything you want against a company, and then they can go, hey, speaking of that, here comes a lawsuit for you, and we can sue you. So you can say it, but you probably don't want to say it.
But the thing is, in America, say unlike in England, if you libel someone, if someone sues you for libel,
mm-hmm.
they have to prove that they did not do that or they are not that.
Right.
In the States, in England, you have to prove that you are right.
Okay.
In America, they have to prove that you are not right. So it's actually harder to have a libel case in the States than it is, say, in England.
Okay.
So, and Canada. Canada's the same. In Canada, if you libel someone and they sue you, it's up to you. It's on you to prove that they are what you said.
Understood. But say you decide to say something bad about, say, Coca-Cola. Okay.
Yeah.
And you're slamming Coca-Cola. Like, I know that you would not...
Slamming it down.
Yeah, you're slamming it down. That's what we're doing actually right now. By the way, you want to sponsor us, Coke? Go right ahead. This garage door thing, I don't think is going to work out.
If you want a commercial Coke that has a lot of F words in it, we are the show for you.
That's right.
Hey, drink your fucking Coke.
No. Here's how it is. No.
Are you fucking thirsty?
No. You do this instead.
Okay.
Drink Coke. Fuck Pepsi. That's how it goes. If you say something bad about Coke, I would say Coke could go, hey, you know, they could send their lawyers and mm-hmm. give you enough business that, you know, if you don't have the money to go against that, then you're screwed anyway. Like, I mean, money is speech as well in the States. More so, I'd say, than it is in Canada, at least from what I have seen, you know.
I'm sure you get squished here, too, by someone who wants to.
And yet, here's something. I used to do a sketch comedy show, and so I did a couple of sketch comedy situations. One thing I used to work on was a show called Street Sense. We did parodies of products and what have you. And so we looked into whether or not we could get sued, you know, basically for... And the only time we ever did get a lawsuit was we did a parody of Pizza Hut that we called Pizza Shack, and we got sued by Pizza Shack because there was an actual place called Pizza Shack. And I was like, but we're clearly doing a parody of the Pizza Hut thing. No, you're denigrating Pizza Shack. I'm like, well, no. And then it all got thrown out, and fuck it.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, that's interesting. I wonder if we can get sued. And basically, you can't. If it's fair comment, you're fairly protected.
Yeah.
And also because of the show kind of show we were doing, which was an information show, and we were kind of news a little bit, it was fine. Then we're like, okay, well, how about like just a straight-out parody show? And I was talking to the folks who do double exposure.
Yeah.
I was going to work on something with them. And they were talking about how they were trying to get sued. They'd love to get sued because you get sued, you get like publicity.
Yeah.
And it'd be fantastic. But they couldn't get sued. And I was like, has anyone ever been sued for anything parody-wise they've ever done in Canada? And the answer is, nope. It just has never happened here. So maybe it could.
Yeah.
But for all the talk of freedom of speech and being able to take the piss out of whatever, we can do it because no one's said no.
That's once again, because we don't have freedom of speech. We can say whatever we want and no one does anything.
That's actually something that bugs me about like when I see how easy political shows are.
And I'm sort of joking, but I'm not joking. I mean, we do have a limit on our
speech. Oh, absolutely. And you can't, and once in a while, something will happen like, you know, the situation where the stand-up comic got called in by the tribunal about hate speech and blah, blah, and it was so bullshit and whatever. Yeah. But even that one, people went, and that now this opens the door and this is going to happen all the time. Never happened fucking again. Yeah. It's not going to happen again. It just doesn't fucking happen.
It was kind of a cyclone I think in both sides.
There was a lot of other shit, and there was some touching, and there was things being broken, and there's a whole bunch of stuff. So you can say it was a freedom of speech thing, but it wasn't really, but whatever, fuck. But the major, what bugs me is the major political satire in Canada, whether it be Air Farce, whether it be 22 Minutes, whether it be Mercer, just are so mild, it feels, on the politicians that, well, you could go, we could go as hard as like England does, but we do not. And And I say that after kind of putting a little bit of a slam down for a local cartoonist who was doing a Justin Trudeau comic strip, just because he was doing this comic, and he's a very talented comic strip artist, Julian Lawrence.
Yes,
he's got a comic strip called This Justin.
Okay,
which you know, and
cash in when you can.
Absolutely, and you know, and he started it basically before Justin Trudeau was in power.
Okay,
and it was and every strip is slamming Justin Trudeau in some way.
Okay,
and
that's right.
And when I saw it, I compared it to another strip that a friend of mine did called Abomination.
Okay.
And in Abomination, it was sort of the same thing. It's just like you start with the premise of the main character, who's this politician, is a jerk.
Yeah.
And they're a coward, and they're all the negative things.
Yeah.
And everything they do is for negative reasons, and they're crying, and they're scared, and everything's horrible about them.
Yeah.
And then you just shove in whatever the events of the day are or make up something.
Yeah.
And so I compared the two. Because it's the kind of political satire that I don't care for, which is like, you're not doing something about what's going on. You're going, let's start with the premise that this guy's a shit.
Okay.
And now, here we go. And it's like, well, then that's not, what's that?
Yeah.
If the person does really something good, commentary. There's nothing. Yeah. Yeah. If they're always bad, then that's nothing. That means nothing. Then there's no teeth to it at all. Like even if you're against the person, it doesn't work because you're like, well, yeah, you're against him, you know, 7 days a week anyway. So when you actually do have a point to make, wolf, 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 wolf.
Yeah.
Here's the wolf. Oh, you're yelling wolf again today, huh? That's that time of day. It's wolf time, right?
Yeah.
It's like, no.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear what you're saying, and I totally disagree.
Please.
No,
freedom of speech, so just, shut up.
I'm just joking with you.
Let me just shut the garage door between us.
I can
Oh, my hand! Oh, you're right. You're absolutely right. It was terrible.
Oh, these fucking doors. Don't forget, buy those fucking doors for that fucking company. And have a fucking Coke as well.
It feels like, it's the old political satire thing of like making fun of both sides equally and go mm-hmm. like, you know, thing about politicians, they're all crooks. And that bugs me. One as a comedian, but also as a citizen. It's just like if you say they're all crooks,
your accuracy is unbelievable.
Your accuracy is probably really quite good, the thing is, it lets the crooks off the hook, because if you are, well, who cares?
Does it?
Yes, because here's the thing, if you're your three brothers,
you're right.
You're the well-behaving brother, mm-hmm. and you got your two brothers. And yeah. I'm not saying they're jerks; they're not jerks. But let's say they were jerks, and these two guys are messing around.
Jerks.
And I go like, "Those Dedrick boys are a bunch of assholes." And it's like,
yeah.
Well, then why do I care?
Is this an ad for the Dedrick boys?
Yes, the Dedrick boys mystery solving show. they solve crimes by being jerks.
Okay.
And also, by the way, they commit most of the crimes. That's the twist at the end of it. But then what's your motivation for rising above? It's like, no matter what.
Yeah. You could say the same thing about conspiracy theories with government as well. Mm-hmm. That if your sense is that it's all a giant conspiracy, then what is your motivation to, you know, work for something, mm-hmm. whatever it is that you're... If you think that gays should marry, let's pretend that that hasn't happened yet, mm-hmm. and you're working for that, but your feeling is that it's just a big giant conspiracy and that you're just going to get shut down at some point because, you know, no one really wants it to happen, then your motivation, you're constantly stymieing yourself because your feeling is that government doesn't actually work for the people, it works for the Illuminati, you know, and that some secret organization is putting eyes and pyramids on you know, American money or whatever, and, you know, and when you fold it a certain way,
it's Spock.
It turns into Spock, or it turns into the burning towers, the 9/11 towers, or whatever, you know, whatever you can.
Right.
If you take the money and you fold it this way and that way, and then turn it slightly this way, and then do this with it, and then fold it, look at that, you know, well, why? Why are you doing that? Like, what is the reason?
The reason is because you want to feel at least something's in control.
Yeah.
Even if it's something negative, at least because you could bring down a negative thing that's in power. But if life is all chaos, there's nothing you can do, and now you're really screwed.
Have you ever seen the film Pontypool?
Is that the one in the radio station? No, I have
Stephen
not, but McHattie. I am familiar with the concept.
With Stephen McHattie. And it's interesting because it opens with a quote from Norman Mailer where he's talking about the Kennedy assassination. Mm-hmm. And he says that when something that massive happens, I think he's looking at it the wrong way, but it's an interesting quote, but he says when something that massive happens, he says, like, it seems like events, you know, it's such a big giant rock into the pond that all the ripples affect everything. And it, you know, and so it seems like everything is affected by that one event, whether it's a JFK or 9/11. I think what actually it is because it's such a huge event, you're paying way more attention to everything around it than you normally would.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So your attention is drawn to all these details that normally we would just let go by.
Right.
And suddenly you're like, you know who was that? You know who was on the grassy knoll when George Bush was on the grassy knoll when? And you know who, that? You know, so it's just like all
Whereas
these.
If you looked at, like, you fell on the ice outside of your home, and you go like, oh, I just fell on the ice. But if then you really looked at everything and just like, hey, wait, my neighbor is looking out the window right now and laughing. Wait, did he have something to do with? and then you put it all together.
Yeah, that's right.
It also feels like it's impossible for something that big to just be that simple too. Like, it's like, speaking of things that were for this week, this is the anniversary of John Lennon's death. And the idea that one fucking guy could go and with a gun kill John Lennon.
Yeah.
And then we don't get any more of that music.
Yeah.
To have that kind of, though, speaking of ripples, all the songs that he would have written from then to now, that's his presence and effect on the world are gone, and one guy can do it. Just as so, no, that can't be right. He couldn't. That guy, a guy that small, couldn't take out something that big. That seems fucking impossible. There must have been something else behind it, or the government went, John Lennon's saying too much about the war, we got to knock this shit off, we got to take care of him. And that feels almost more comforting to go like the president tried to have him killed. Oh, well, then.
Yeah.
It's terrible, but totally. it makes sense rather than
just a random person who
just a random
had
guy.
Some problems, had some, you know.
Asked for an autograph and then shot him. Yeah. Just a guy. And
what's
and
weird is he asked for an autograph, then came back later and shot him.
Mm. Is that how that went down?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just,
I guess he scribbled on my record. I get that guy. I don't know what his motivation was, really. I mean, if you read I've only really read Goldman's book about Lenin, and he goes quite a bit into the background of that person, whose name I'm not going to say.
Yeah, every so often he gets interviewed by people like Larry King, and you just go, fuck off.
Oh, really? The people...
Yeah, yeah, they interview him, and it's just like, fuck off.
I like what
Rolling... We don't need this.
Yeah. Well, I think... I kind of think it started with Rolling Stone, and it could be wrong, which they just put a publication ban on mentioning his name. Because they felt like this is a person who's trying to leech off someone else's celebrity to become famous themselves by, you know...
Or even if they're not, someone else might be inspired by
that.
Yeah,
that's true.
And so it's like, no, this person can't get big by destroying something big.
Yeah.
You know, no, sir, that does not fly.
Yeah.
Nope, you stay small and insignificant. And if you had done something good and built yourself up that way, that would have been a different story.
Yeah.
But nope, fuck, nope, not doing this.
It's an interesting approach, actually. And I don't know, do you think people still do that? Do you think people, whether consciously or unconsciously, still do that?
Do what?
We kind of try and take that person out of the story in a way, like...
Well, I know every time... Well, I mean, the Planned Parenthood shooting, there was a lot of, like, don't talk about that guy.
Yeah.
Don't talk about his motivations.
Okay.
It doesn't fucking matter why he would do this. Mm-hmm. Some people were saying, oh, and he's a protester. No, he's not a fucking protester.
Yeah, that's not protesting.
But no, people were on the... I don't want to say on the right, but it was all people on the right, because they wanted to spin their own thing into it, and everyone wants to spin... Take any event... Basically, any news event proves your position on a subject, usually.
Yeah.
But yeah, they tried to, like, take him out of it and just go, nope, just take the picture down if you can. And other people, no, you got to put the picture up, and it's news and it's out there, and it's true that it's news and it's out there. But it does bug me to think, like, if you do something, you're going to be, at least for 3 days, all over the news, because that's the way the news fucking works.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Boo on that.
You just have... Yeah. It's... I was going to say, everyone knows the guy who did that thing. And then I realized, oh, I don't know his name, so I guess I can't say that. The guy who shot people from a clock tower in Texas.
Charles, how about this? You don't know
Charles Whitman.
Yeah, you don't know the name of the person who did the Montreal massacre, and that was recent.
I don't.
There, good.
But I don't know the names of the ladies either, which is sad, right?
Which is sad. Okay, which is sad. That is sad. But you don't. It's rough to say that you don't need to know the names of the women, because it could be anyone who was shot, and if anyone who was shot, it would be tragic and horrific. And the event itself would still have impact, no matter who they are. But you shouldn't know him.
Yeah.
You should not know him. And so I'm glad that we don't. And it's surprising because it's such an incident in Canada that, like, had such an impact. And to this day, you know,
it's kind of the beginning of that in Canada, that sort of event. We haven't had a lot of them.
We haven't.
But we've had a few.
Can you think of one that would be of comparable? You know, it's tough to.
There was one in Alberta. I can't remember the name of the town now, but it was a small town, and someone shot. He didn't shoot as many people, but he took a rifle and went to a school and to, I think it was like a community college sort of situation. And I could be getting it mixed up, but I think that's probably the only one I can think of that's, you know.
And I want to kind of go back a little bit and just
and
go,
then the
like,
guy
of course
who recently...
the names of the women do matter and who they were.
Oh, of course they do, and I'm sad that I...
What I'm trying to say is, if it happened to anybody, it would be equally as bad and tragic and what have you. It's...
I just feel bad because I just watched a video of all their pictures and their names.
Right.
All the victims. So I feel bad that none of them... I mean, I know there's a Sophie. I know there is an Anne Marie.
Right.
But I don't remember their last names.
Right.
So I feel bad for that we don't. It's true. We don't know.
No, it's
that,
okay. And it's
we don't
okay
know
to
the
feel
person
bad for
that.
You're
that,
right.
But,
all right.
But
there was a person who was, you know, mentioning the massacre, because I think it was the anniversary of it 2 weeks ago.
Maybe we should talk about what it was, because there's probably people listening who don't know.
Okay. Now, was it
the story.
Was it McGill University?
No, I think it was a community college. It
was
a smaller
college.
Yeah.
And it was a.
Was it a woman? What is it, strictly for women?
I think it was a. Oh boy, this is where it gets important to actually know the details.
Yeah, it does.
What I know just from memory is a person going in and he's angry at feminists, and that's what he said, and then he started shooting. Shooting up the class. So that's, you know, and that's like our. When we think of a mass shooting in Canada, that's the one that comes to us. And why
sure.
I was one of the reasons I was bringing this one up was a person I know online was saying, you know, we're remembering the anniversary of this one, and America is remembering the anniversary of theirs, which was a week ago, and then the other one, which was like you know, 2 months ago, yes, and the other one, which is like 6 months ago. So when you get into a discussion about guns and what have you and culture and all yeah. this kind of stuff, you know, maybe there are cultural differences and maybe they matter. That
huge
we're still
cultural differences.
What do you think the cultural difference? Because this is something that the politicians in the States say over and over again, which is it's not about guns. It's about respect for human life. And if the shooters had respect for human life, this wouldn't occur. Do you think there's anything to that, or is that just
no? I think that's garbage.
I believe that's garbage as well.
Well, because I mean, it's true and it's not true. It's true in the sense that yes, that's a factor in it, but in having little or no access to guns would also be a factor in preventing these sort of things, right?
Right. Well,
I mean, I think we can agree to that.
Canadians have guns, though.
We have guns.
Isn't it per capita? The thing is, per capita, I believe the deal is person for person, we have a similar amount of guns. But yeah. in the States, more individuals have more guns. They own more okay. than one gun.
Yeah.
And so when you lay out the amount of guns, that's where you go like, oh, that's a lot of guns. But in Canada, yeah. we do. People do have guns. But yeah. this doesn't happen. And I don't want to say this in a braggy, like, look at us. We're fucking Canada. Check it out. Because we can be cocky fucks sometimes. And go like, I like our healthcare. And how's this? And we did that gay marriage back then. Look at us. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But why?
Yes, we did healthcare over the you know, it took a lot of pushing to get healthcare.
And gay marriage was the prime minister on the way going, and there's gay marriage. Goodbye. What did he say? Did he say there was gay? What? What happened? Okay, bye. Bye. I gotta go.
Yeah, I gotta go. I gotta see you later.
But what do you think it is culturally? Now, you're both American and
yes,
Canadian.
I've lived for 4 months in the States, so I'm going to speak with some expertise
as
on
a baby.
This.
Let me
as
say.
As a baby, yes.
Their diapers are soft and absorbent.
Yes. And I was wearing cloth diapers. There were no...
And let me tell you, many disposable the breast milk in. Flowed freely.
You know what? It didn't actually. But anyway, let's not talk about that.
All right. I'm part just of saying, my history. I was a bottle baby, so anyway, but I can't...
I was a bottle baby too, because my mom couldn't produce enough milk.
And that is why both of us need a podcast now, because we That's didn't right. get that attention back then.
We didn't get that attention.
if both of us had gotten a boob in the mouth, we wouldn't need a mic in the mouth right now.
Everybody, we're going to have a little ad for a fucking boob in the mouth. Listen, you motherfuckers, if there's one fucking thing you need in life...
Hey, no need to talk to the dads like that. It's not their fault.
I say that every Father's Day. Happy day, motherfuckers. Anyway.
And you're one, so you can't.
I can say
I
that.
Can't
I can
say
totally,
it.
Yes. It would be insulting if you said it.
All right, now please continue.
I was going to say that, I think if you look at something, we maybe talked about this, but it's an interesting thing that in the States, when the Great Depression came, people lost their homes. People, they're still there. Like if you go to some parts in the United States, this is what I'm going from a radio documentary I listened to a number of years ago, maybe 20 years ago. So maybe I'm wrong and them still being there. But at that time, there were still farmhouses that dated back to the Depression that were abandoned and were still empty. Still, you know, these derelict houses that were just, the people just, I guess, put their key back through the mail slot and left because there was no way for them to make a living on these farms because of this drought and dust bowl and all the rest of it. The same thing happened in Canada. We had the Depression too. We had, you know, a terrible drought that struck the same area. I mean, we also have a big prairie area that grows wheat and all the rest of it. The difference in Canada is that the farmers banded together and created cooperatives to help, you know, ameliorate, to make it easier for them to get their supplies and, you know, so all their crops.
What is a wheat pool?
Well, we still have them. That's where, you know, many, many different farmers from an area, all their wheat is put together and sold as in one group. Rather than competing with each other to sell their wheat, they have a cooperative selling group that pools all the resources, and then they all get their money out of that. You know, so it's a bit of a different way, say in the States, where farmers there were just competing against each other, so the biggest farmers won and the smallest farmers just lost. In Canada, the biggest farmers helped the smaller farmers and were able to create...
Do you think that's part of the American mindset?
Yes, I do. I do think that shows a difference in how they approach a problem like that. So rather than thinking, oh, let's work together to solve this problem, they're like, I'm an individual and I need to soldier through this and, you know, prove that I can beat this. Oh, it's beaten me. You know, oh, well, I'll just go away.
Because the American dream isn't, let's all do this together.
I guess not. I guess it's part of that is that idea of, you know, that kind of famous I can't remember the name of the author now.
Horatio Alger?
Yeah, that Horatio Alger, that idea, which he was a phony. He was a big,
yeah.
He wasn't really a self-made man, but, you know, but that idea.
No one is.
No one is. That's right. Yeah. I mean, the thing about Trump getting $1 million from his father to, you know, and then there was some meme, I don't know how accurate it is, but someone said if he had just invested $1 million, he would have way more money now than the money that he has, that he's, you know, sort of, because he went bankrupt in the late 90s, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, that's a different way of approaching a problem. And I mean, both have their problems, obviously, and when, you know, and have their benefits. The idea of being self-sufficient and working for yourself, I mean, that's very appealing, you know, that you're beholden to no man. You know, you just, you know, you plow your own fields, you work your own land, it's yours. What you earn from it is yours. Whereas in this other system, it does cause problems because people, I mean, we've carried it on in Canada. That's one of the reasons that we've talked about Justin Trudeau. His dad, Pierre Trudeau, why he was so unpopular in the West is because he insisted on the West sharing its wealth with the rest of Canada. You know, this idea that it's not just for you, it's for everyone. That, you know, so yes, you're lucky. You have oil in your, you had dinosaurs and now you have oil, you know, but that's not, you didn't earn that. You didn't go out there and build oil. You just found it in the ground. It's there because, you know, at one point, British Columbia was entirely underwater.
So he was the you didn't build that of his day. He was the you didn't build that of his day.
Yeah, I guess
The, kind of the Elizabeth Warren.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and so, you know, and he just, this is for everyone. This is for all Canadians to share in this, you know. So not just Albertans getting rich off this, but everyone in Canada should, you know. So, of course,
do you think that turned the Albertans more towards the right?
Oh, yeah. Definitely. And I think that was already there. I think that is a part of that kind of Western attitude. I mean, a lot of what people think of as Canada actually, is, I think, comes more out of the central part of Canada, like Saskatchewan. I don't know if that's truly the center, but you know what I mean? Like, that's more our attitude, like our feeling about ourselves as a great, like a real military presence in World War I and II. Hooray for Canada. Let's march up and down. Most of those were like farm boys from Saskatchewan. Mm-hmm. They weren't city dwellers from Vancouver or Toronto. Those guys were all, had already figured out the angles to get out of having to serve. You know, they're all, you know, probably captains and doing working in supply barracks and stuff like that. Not all of them, obviously, speaking of, because Langley, every street in Langley is named after boys who died during World War I. So,
same but thing those were, back east.
But yeah, those were farmers, right? Those were farmers' kids that came out of Langley, you know. So that was like the supply chain for the army at that time. But so it's interesting. And also that's where healthcare comes out of, right? Out of Tom Douglas, you know, so... this very left-leaning party was elected and had a they weren't a majority party, but they had a key part to play in the House. And in order for the House to work, you know, they said, "Well, we'll play with you if you'll introduce healthcare."
Mm-hmm.
And so,
maybe there's something about like that area where you're not going to get too rich. Like you really can't get too rich unless you own like a lot of farms.
Well, I mean, it's changing now. I mean, agribusiness is different.
Understood. Yeah. But like back then, you know, so yeah, mm-hmm. you could be all in it together and you wouldn't feel like, oh, this is a risk getting in it with, like it actually makes sense to be in it with people. Like to me, one of the biggest things would be the healthcare angle in that we have so many safety nets here that you're not going to fall too hard when you fall. Not to say that there aren't homeless people here. Not to say that some people don't suffer.
Yes, we've let some people down.
Some people down, yeah. Definitely with mental health.
Mm-hmm.
You know, definitely we've done that. But the States has that as well. Like it's everything that I'm talking about, they've got too. And I feel like in the States, you feel like, I mean, even when I go to the States and for some reason I forget to get insurance, I like, oh my God, if I get hit by a car, I'm screwed.
Yeah.
Then this is thousands of dollars and I don't know what to do. Oh, geez, I'm nervous now. Imagine like living like that all the time. Like knowing like that if something goes wrong, you're fucked, you know, but things go right and you're gold, you know? So it really is, you know, the guy next to you is might be a threat. You know, if he does well, then I might not do well. That guy at my office, I got to make it. Mm-hmm. And it feels like more in Canada. If I don't make it, I'm going to go home, watch some hockey. And
I don't know if that's...
You know, but I don't think there is that much of I've got to make it or I'm screwed.
And maybe that's why Canadians leave Canada who are very ambitious. Maybe that's why we have people, you know, actors and...
True.
And musicians and people like that who leave,
mm-hmm.
and you know they're perfectly happy to not be here because, you know, they enjoy that competitive
But I don't think we've got the dizzying highs and lows.
Yeah, we don't.
Like,
but that's what they want.
I live, you know, very close, and like Hell Kitty Studios here is very close to what some people would consider the worst part of town.
Yes.
But if you and I went, we could just walk through there.
Yeah.
And you would not feel unsafe. Like,
no.
You really wouldn't.
No.
You know, because you know.
Of course, we're two guys.
We're two guys. That's true. But I don't think, like, if we were to say, like, we're going to go walk through the worst part of the States right now.
Yeah.
We're going to go walk through there.
We're going to go walk through Seattle.
Well, even Seattle, when I walk through Seattle and people come up to me, they've come up to me very aggressively.
Yeah.
And, you know, and get in my face and call me a bitch. And,
really?
Yeah, absolutely. And really get in your face.
They should be wearing their glasses.
But no, it's I've had, and Seattle, of course, is quite mellow.
Yeah.
You know, but even Seattle is definitely rougher and feels more dangerous.
Do you remember? I just want to interrupt you for 1 second.
Please do.
Do you remember the time we went to a party?
Oh, remember that? We used to be party guys.
We went to a
party.
Dave
and I were what you used to call in Canada party boys.
This is when we were chauffeuring Chester Brown around.
Okay.
And
by we, I mean you, because you were doing the drive.
I was driving.
I was just in the back seat.
Yes. And we were leaving this party.
Yeah.
And
Woo! We
got to the intersection.
Yeah.
And I looked down, and I could see about four or five policemen with their guns drawn running up a hill towards a convenience store.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, look, police with their guns drawn. And they said, let's go this way. And I just turned to the right, and we drove off as quickly as we could in the opposite direction. I've never seen that.
No, I've seen riots.
Yes.
Here.
Yeah.
And the police didn't have their guns out.
Yeah.
It's tear gas, and everyone it's terrible. But it's not guns out, and I mean,
but here's the thing: it's tear gas and handkerchiefs.
Yes.
Because you're crying.
There you go. And it's literal riots.
Yeah.
That if and then I see them. It's funny when I see the riots portrayed on Canadian news. You know, it's like I always say, they shoot them from the angle of the chest, kind of high.
Okay.
You're like, oh, things look a little rough. And then the American ones always shoot it from the foot level, and like, things look terrible. Oh my God! Everyone's gonna die. It's like, all right, I understand how you're spinning this here, but I think that is we don't have the dizzying highs and lows. So if you have dizzying highs and lows, plus access to guns, that's a fucking rough go, man. That's tough, you know. Whereas here, not as much.
People have access to guns, but we do have. We have, you know, obviously we have restrictions on ownership.
Yeah.
We have a waiting period before you can get it. I believe, and I don't know if this is true anymore, but we used to have, you couldn't own automatic assault rifles. You can have semi-automatic in that you have to pull the trigger in order to fire it and have repeat, but you cannot just push your finger down.
Here's the thing about living where we used to live. We grew up in North Delta, and occasionally I'd go to a North Delta party, because once again, I was a party boy back then.
They say you're nothing but a party boy. Okay, go on.
That's our national anthem. those of you that don't know. And occasionally, there was like about three people I knew who had parents who had guns. And two of those had a lot of guns.
Wow.
And those two also had guns that they should not have had. And that was a big thing that they were like pretty proud of. We're just like,
is that right?
Yeah, if the government knew that we had these, we'd be like, well, don't tell me then. That's the thing. That's the word, don't spread the word to me.
Yeah.
But yeah, they had like all the guns that you should. And they had the basement that was like, here's the vault full of the... I was like, whoa.
Wow.
Okay. So there's a couple of places in North Delta that have that kind of situation.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't even think like those folks would go like, and now I'm going to go crackers and go shoot them up. No. That was it. The end. They were basically collectors.
Did they hunt or they just collected?
Mostly collectors, yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah.
But they didn't care for the government. I'll tell you that much. Because the government wanted to come for their guns.
Damn government.
Yep.
Lisa's dad had a lot of guns. Not, I shouldn't say a lot.
Well,
but
look at who she was dating. What choice
well,
did
that
he
was
have?
The thing. Yes, he often chased me off the property. Get out of here, Dedrick.
You had kind of a real Little Abner youth.
I did. I wore overalls every day. I wore boots that didn't, the toes, you know, my toes stuck out of them.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Practice kissing on what a pig.
Yes, my darling pig.
Smoochie.
Yeah, he had a bunch of guns, but when the gun registry came in, he's kind of like, I don't want to deal with all this crap, so he just went and turned them in. And he had one that was cool because it was the same gun that James Bond uses in From Russia with Love
to
assassinate someone. because the gun was all the rifle. It was a rifle, and it was all contained in the rifle. In the whatever you call the end of the butt of the rifle.
Butt of the rifle, yeah.
And yeah, you unscrew and then take out the barrel, and you'd screw it together, and then screw that into.
Now, was that because he was a James Bond fan, or did he just like the gun itself? Any idea?
I think he just liked the gun. I don't think he even knew that it was in Russia. I was the one who told him.
Oh, okay.
He was surprised. Yeah, but that was. It could be considered, I think, could be considered like a concealed weapon or something like that. So, or something. I can't quite remember.
There might also,
what it was,
and here's the other thing I'm going to
throw
out.
He gave it away.
Here's the other thing I'm going to throw out. You know, it's when you're in history class and you hear American history. American history is.
American History X.
American History X. They watch that movie constantly and go, is that the guy who was like the first Hulk? And they go, no, he was the second Hulk. Oh, right, he's the second Hulk.
Second Hulk. Yeah. American History XXX.
You don't want to see a skinhead Hulk. That guy. It's trouble.
Yes.
But you can't really say white power when you're green.
Yeah, that's
ironic, right?
That's the thing.
That's the thing. So he's got to go, no, you got me. I guess I can't.
You go, Hulk face racism.
Hulk hates self more than hate world. no, I think like when they
now hear, tattoos feel wrong.
When you hear the history of the states, at least traditional history, I know they're trying to get more realistic.
Really, are they? Is that why Texas took the mentions of slavery out?
Look, there's gonna be extremes everywhere. But the idea is like, how did we get where we've gotten today? How did we get this freedom? Mm-hmm. We got this freedom through violence. We got this freedom because we fought for freedom every step of the way.
Yeah.
This freedom wasn't given by negotiation.
No.
It wasn't given by compromise.
Sure.
It was, we want it. No, you can't have it. Oh, yeah. Blam, blam, blam. Yeah.
We got it by defeating a power that was 4,000 miles away.
Right.
And was locked in a terrible, deadly struggle with its next door neighbor.
After we committed genocide on some people that welcomed us. Anyway, long story short.
Hooray for us.
But guns the reason that we have the stuff that we have.
Yeah.
So you can sort of see the mentality would be, and now let's just put these guns away. And it's like, no, you do not want to put the guns away because it feels like the only thing that's keeping the stuff is the guns.
Yeah.
So I could see that. Whereas Canada, basically we went with this. Can we live here? England. Yeah, right. All right then. Thanks. We'll just could we be on your money then? Would you mind putting the king or queen on your money? Yeah, that's no problem. We can do that. Can we put a moose and stuff on the other side? Yeah, or a beaver, whatever. Put whatever you fucking want on. We don't care.
Well, she's still the head of Canada.
She's the head of Canada. Yeah, because you just say she's the head of Canada. All right, well, will she boss us around? No. She'll just sit around and play with her dogs. She's not going to say nothing. She'll come over, visit you every 20 years.
She's not going to say nothing.
She's not going to say nothing. She knows how to keep her mouth shut.
Nothing.
She knows. She knows how the game is played. She knows what gig she's got. Man, she don't want to blow this.
I didn't realize the Cockney was so popular in the diplomatic corps of England.
Yeah, she's got it. Good, she does.
Yeah.
That's right. So it's like, we've got guns. What do we have guns for? Bears? Like, what do we don't expect England's going to come and take all our stuff away.
Could happen.
Like I was watching the other day, they had Red Dawn. You ever see that movie, the original Red Dawn with
doesn't make any sense.
Patrick Swayze. It makes no sense.
Yeah.
The first thing that the Russians attack is a high school
in Colorado.
And shoot the
Isn't it in Colorado?
Something.
Isn't it like a central
Who
state?
Who fucking cares?
It's not like a coastal attack.
Like it completely makes sense in this regard. Here's where it makes sense.
Okay.
If you're a high school kid,
yeah.
Your fantasy is, oh, what if those Russians showed up right now?
Yeah.
They would try and shoot the shit out of everything. But you know what? We'd fight back and we'd kick their ass.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, of course, it would start at a high school. It makes sense.
Sure.
But you watch it and just go, this is the fantasy. This is the fantasy. It's like, hey, man, you let your guard down for one goddamn second and look up to the skies. Those Ruskies are going to come in,
sure,
shoot the shit out of things. And if you ain't got guns, you're fucked, Jack.
And if you're not a badger, is that what they are? Badgers? What are they?
Wolverines.
Beavers? Wolverines. Sorry.
Ironically, Wolverines. Whereas Wolverine is our Canadian superhero.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas I think like if the idea was like that was happening in Canada, you know, you just think like, oh, let's just hide till winter's over. Like freeze them out. let's get out of here.
We are the Russia against Russia.
Yeah.
We would just let them, lull them into a false sense of security.
Leave some beers out.
Get them as far. Let them go as far as Fort McKenzie. Then, oh man! Then
I think we just throw some bologna at them and let the bears take care of this.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to say. As an American, I feel bad for everything that happens.
I do too. I just I wish there was something I could do to just go like, hey guys, it's okay. It's okay. Come here, relax. It's all right. It's like, oh, that's, what do you want us to relax? I'm like, oh, I know.
But don't you feel like it's really keyed up there, like way more than
ever? It feels like, and again, I don't like to be broad stereotype.
Yes, please broad stereotype.
All right, then let me broad stereotype. It feels like there's PTSD there that they just can't shake it. They can't shake off.
Yeah.
And then no matter what happens, it gets triggered again, and now it's all bad. Whatever happens, happens.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. I mean, and you know, to be fair, we haven't had something like 9/11, which I think is the trigger. Like, it's just like America. I don't want to say America's gone crazy.
Do you think it's the trigger or the justification? Do you think that was there already, and so it justifies it, or was it something that brought out new feelings in people?
I think it brought out. I think it made us scared. Or made Americans scared. You know. Say the Gulf War was such a roaring success, you know, where, you know, what would, you know, in terms of, I mean, obviously there were lots of casualties, but in terms of other wars, it was rather relatively low casualties, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, Americans felt like they were the superpower that could kind of work their will on the world and not be hurt themselves.
Right.
You know. And then this attack happens, and then you feel vulnerable.
The last attack was, you know, Pearl Harbor, really.
Yeah.
You know,
we kicked their asses after Pearl Harbor, right?
The problem is
because there was a visible enemy that you could go and...
There was no finish to it. It's like, Pearl Harbor, what was that? Was that in 39? When was Pearl Harbor? 41. So,
December 12th, 41.
Okay. So we're 14 years away from 9/11 right now, right?
Yeah.
All right, so you picture like 41, so 55. Yeah. So picture America in 1955, and you don't picture them going, remember Pearl Harbor, man? Just remember, I don't trust those Japanese anymore. You don't picture that, do you?
No.
Maybe that was, but no.
Japan was still occupied in 1955 by the Americans.
Correct, so. but there weren't still internment camps. Amazing there was internment camps, Jesus fuck. You know, you could still...
Did it before and can do it again.
No shit. But yeah, I think that is the thing. Is like there was no finish to it. There was like, this was the attack. And then where does the battle go? The battle does... We're going to go take it to them. We're going to beat them. And there's no beating them because it's an idea, basically.
Yeah.
So you can't beat
this
idea.
This amorphous mass.
So there's no finish to it.
Yeah.
And so you end up with something like now where it just seems... It seems like, here's the thing, if you saw the things that, my personal feeling on Donald Trump is he's not actually trying to run. I think at this point he's trying to fucking leave. And he's saying these outrageous things because the Republicans will finally have to like say, okay, that's all well and good. You don't represent the party anymore.
You don't think he's trying to run anymore? Is he doing like a Ross Perot where you realize the enormity of what you're trying to take on and you're just like, wait a second.
My feeling basically on Donald Trump, for all people who go, he's honest. He's not fucking honest.
No, he's not
like,
an honest person.
Is he saw... what happened with Sarah Palin. And Sarah Palin went and she ran.
Yeah.
And I do think she was trying to get vice president. But after it didn't work out, she was on Fox, books, and it's like, it's a great publicity thing. Like, he's getting so much publicity, so whatever he does next after this, any TV show that the guy does, it's going to go fucking mental. He's going to make so much money off it, but he's not going to make money being president. He's going to lose money being president, lose a lot of money being president, because that job pays shit, and it cuts you off from doing a bunch of stuff, because if you're president, you can't also have your finger in this pie and this pie and this pie. Yeah, anything that's conflict of interest, you have
to
cut
off. But once you're president,
off.
You can put your finger in lots of pies.
Possibly, or maybe
for
not.
Sure.
Well, but you look at someone like Barack Obama and go like, that's the most powerful guy in the world who can't do fucking shit because he's blocked by the series of checks and balances that are going on.
Yeah, but once he's done, I mean, it's going to be money, crazy money for him. He's going to be sitting on boards of companies and
he'll be
doing public speaking. I mean,
he'll do okay.
Guys like Bill Clinton,
the Clintons are doing fine, right? But. You know, Trump already
not
had
just
like
fine. Super wealthy.
Not super wealthy. Someone like Trump already had like TV shows and all this other stuff, and he was making this, and so it made sense as a publicity kind of crazy thing. You do this, but I do think at this point now he's trying to bail out. You know, because you don't. All right, you say that Russians are rapists. Not Russians. Mexicans are rapists. Well, that makes no fucking sense. Even if you believe that.
Yeah. If he'd said Russians.
right. If you believe that this is the case, you don't say that because you know that's not going to get the thing that you want to get done. If he actually wants to get these fucking things done, you don't say them.
Yeah.
Because if you say them, they're not going to happen. So that's the bullshit. It's like you don't say, hey, Dave, I'm going to hunt you for sport.
Yeah.
If I want to hunt you for sport, I'm going to lull you into a false sense of security, yeah. take you to my cabin in the woods.
Yeah.
I'm going to fatten you up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say, hey, let's go for a jog. I'm going to run out, and I'm going to hunt you for sport.
Yeah.
I don't go, I'm going to hunt David for sport.
Yeah.
Because now David is fucking off to Hawaii, and it's not going to be near me, right?
Yeah.
So none of the things...
I'm not having second thoughts about that whole cabin invitation.
So if he really wants the things that he wants, mm-hmm. he would not be fucking saying them.
Yeah.
Because you then sneak them in. That's how you goddamn do it. You do the George Bush thing of just go, listen, man, I got no problem with Muslims. Muslims are great. I'm a Muslim, you're a Muslim, we're all Muslims at heart. Aren't we all Muslims? Okay. Open the camps. Get the secret prison going. Do the fucking torture thing. We'll tell them we're not torturing. We'll do all things in secret. And that's how you get the shit done.
Yeah.
And Trump knows that, so you don't fucking say the things out loud. But the amazing thing to me is that he's tapped into a part of America that goes, yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. But when you see Ann Coulter backing him up and going, yeah, I'm all for it. Yeah, he's right. Oh, he's speaking my language. I'm like, yeah, well, she's just, and I don't mean anything against prostitutes, but she's a publicity whore that just wants to publicize her books.
Yeah.
And so by hopping onto this wagon, people go, that's outrageous. Let's put her on TV to talk about that outrageous thing she fucking said, because that's all that we put her on TV for.
Yeah.
But it's all bullshit. It's not true.
Well, everyone's surprised that a stick insect is talking.
Right.
That's the most.
And again, nothing against skinny people. You can be skinny if you want, but a skinny, hateful, fucking horrible person. Yeah. I mean, that to me, does that make any logical sense to you that he believes the things that he says? Could he possibly believe, if he wanted to get the Muslims out of America,
yeah.
and not let them come back in if they left, even if they're in the military?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar leaves, he can't come home. Muhammad Ali leaves, he can't come home. If he really wanted to do that, would he say that out loud in public a year before an election? Does yeah. that make a lick of fucking sense?
Yeah, no, I agree that he's just cashing in on silly season right now, which is where the election is at this point.
So what do you think his motivation at this point is? Would he want to be kicked out of the Republicans so that he could run as an independent,
no.
then be unburdened,
no.
and actually go through? So you don't think that's possible?
No.
Because that's the only out I can think where he'd actually want to run for president, because he can't possibly run as a Republican.
Yeah.
He can't. So he's trying to bail right now. And I say, don't let the fucker bail. Let him fucking spin. Bring him on. What do you got next? Huh? Johnny Crackers?
Yeah.
You know, kick a puppy? Fucking what do you got?
Well, I hope, hopefully, the Republican Party is not going to let him continue on.
Every Republican now is going, the guy's out of his mind.
Yeah.
Not out of his mind, but like a hate-filled jerk.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
well, of course they have to. I mean, it's true.
And they don't have to.
But that's the thing. There are people who are serious politicians who are serious about, you know, you may disagree with them, but they have a serious idea of how the country should be run.
Right.
You know, and their serious idea about how the country should be run is not about like locking up Muslims.
But if you're a serious politician,
yeah.
and you're going, hey, what way is the wind blowing right now? Well, the wind's blowing towards hate. This guy is doing incredibly well with his message. Should I get on board 75% with that? And then when he leaves, which he will, I can give my real agenda. But I'm going to tap into where the voters are right now with that for a while. I'm going to go, you know, he's got...
To be honest, I haven't really been following it very closely because I just feel like right now it's just a waste of time.
Mm-hmm.
But are there candidates who are jumping on his bandwagon?
No, they're not. They're not. That's the thing.
And
the amazing thing is because there's so many candidates, you'd think at least one would go, man, might as well get a little of this, you know, slip into the slipstream. I'm at 1%.
Yeah.
What could I lose? Nothing.
Well,
slipstream, go aside from my dignity and humanity.
That's part of it. I mean, I think if you're serious about being a politician, you know, like if you're serious about that part of it and not just a publicity hound who's just looking for attention, you know that all the things he's saying are impossible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like this is no way they're going to pass through Congress and Senate. This is absolutely impossible, to me anyway. Like, I hope... the reality of politics is that the country is run by functionaries who work for the government. You know, the Republicans, Democrats come and go. The people that serve under them stay. You know, they don't get to replace all the bureaucrats every time they come into power with new bureaucrats.
Right.
Those people are there all the time, working on whatever. They might be having to implement new policies, but they can give advice on these new policies. They can affect how these new policies are put into practice, or even if they're come into practice at all, if they're practicable in any way.
Right.
You know, so politicians, not only are they controlled by checks and balances within Senate, Congress, the president himself, but also by the people who are actually putting these policies into practical effect.
It's been interesting seeing, you know, Obama and seeing how politics works. Or like, not politics, but how the government works. Mm-hmm. You think like, if I was president, I'd do this, that, and that. Let me show you why you wouldn't. Mm-hmm. Because here's the checks and balances that would stop that.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, this has been an interesting lesson in how that works.
We don't have, it's interesting because we don't have that in Canada. We don't have checks and balances in Canada. The idea we're supposed to.
If we did have checks, it would be with a Q and a U in it.
That's a thing. Exactly. And balances would have two C's. But because that's how the French spelled it. I don't know. But anyway, so the, because in Canada we have the House of, we have the, you know, the House of Parliament, let's say, and then we have the House of the Senate, which is kind of a duplicate of the House of Lords in England. Mm-hmm. And the idea is that you have one kind of countering the other. But the problem is that the Senate is appointed by the government, so it can stack the deck in its favor, kind of the same way that the Supreme Court can be stacked in a favor in the states. But, you know, you hope as governments come and go that there is some sort of, you know, a different people are appointed, right? So they kind of act on each other. So you can have someone who's, you know, intensely conservative, like I think Anthony Scalia would be someone who's intensely conservative. And then there'd be another judge who is on the opposite side of that. And I'm sorry, I can't think of any other judges.
Scalia's good to mention this week because he was saying some really controversial things. But please continue.
I didn't know that. But anyway, I'm trying to think of other judges, but I don't know their names. I don't follow very closely. But because I'm not an American, actually. Although I am American in passport, practically my entire life has been lived in a different country. But anyway, so, you know, that. You hope that there'll be, you know, that kind of, that will work, the Supreme Court will work the same way that Senate and Congress work or the President work, that there's balances within it. So it's not all one way, that there's people saying, whoa, wait a second here, let's think about this, or on either side, you know.
And in Canada, we were a little worried recently with the Harper government, in things like calling itself the Harper government.
Yeah, that was a weird thing.
That was a weird thing to say to the government of Canada.
Yeah.
It's like, wait a second, did you just put your name on the government?
Yeah.
That's very Trumpy to do, by the way.
I think it was more they're trying to like differentiate themselves from the government of Canada. We, you know, this is our vision as the Harper government, you know, what we're going to implement. And I know during the election, there's a lot of, you know, this guy's evil and he's a terrible person and stuff like that. No, he's just a politician. Mm-hmm. You know, he has a vision of what Canada wants and that's what he's going to implement. You might disagree with it, but his vision was honest to himself. You know, he wasn't like being untrue to himself and just putting stuff in because he was, I feel mean today. I'm going to put in the kick puppy law. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make that a thing right now. That's not how it works. I mean, and it was under the conservatives that, it was a conservative member, and it's under the conservatives that the death with dignity laws have come in. You know, that seems not Harper-esque. But it was through the conservative, and a conservative MP who was very...
And on the gay marriage issue, they went, let's have a vote on it. Like afterwards, I'm like, not, we're getting rid of that.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
And again, compared to right-wing and other places, it's really not...
He was
the system worked, and we didn't care for what he was doing, and he is no longer there.
Exactly, yeah, that's how it works.
Done.
That's how it works.
And now we got a comic strip where Justin Trudeau is an asshole every day. I think the one thing about... Sorry, go ahead, unless you're...
I have to look at this up, but I have not seen it.
Here's the one big problem with Trump. Like, again, I think that it's blah, 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 bluster, bluster, nonsense. But where it becomes a problem is ISIS/ISIL is so tied into social media and that sort of situation. And the message that they're pushing forward is the West hates Muslims.
Yeah.
The West distrusts Muslims. And your only real hope, your only hope to fight against that is to join us, because you got to have something that's as strong as they are, and we're the thing that scares them now. So the way to beat that is to go, no, we don't. That's crazy. Yeah. We don't hate Muslims. So if you have a guy going, we got to kick all the fucking Muslims out. Well, thank you, best friend of ISIS.
Yeah.
Right now, like you're just running. Like they honestly should just pay him for that. That's just like, you know, he's doing commercials for them right now, and that's, I think, where it does cross into the, you know, what's the harm? It's just a blowhard being a ba ba da ba. Okay, but if there wasn't over here, maybe it wouldn't matter. But there is, and so it does fucking matter. So, bah.
I mean, you're right. I mean,
I always want to end the show when you say I'm right. I always want that exactly to be the end.
I don't want to say that he's harmless or that he's just an old man and no one's paying attention.
And what do you think if you're a Muslim in America right now
yeah.
and see these people on TV going, yay,
mm-hmm.
you know, geez,
yeah.
boo, hey, again, that's a nice punch in the face, Muhammad Ali, isn't it?
Sure.
How are you doing, buddy? How's it going?
yeah, it's, yeah. He's got it both ways, black and Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
That's really hard. Same with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
And his last name used to be Clay. The kids must have made fun of him all the time for that. Hey, Clay. You made a clay? What are you, Wonder Woman? Because she was made of clay. What are you, a dreidel? They made you out of clay? Hey, Clay.
I really don't think that
and
they...
And then, pow!
Yeah, I was going to say. I think that fun only lasted a certain amount. Maybe he wasn't. Maybe that's what made him tough.
Yeah. Here's the one thing now whenever I see, like, Thiem. And he's, like, you know, not as strong now. Obviously, he's going through all his things.
Yeah.
And it's like, he looks a little weak. Wait a minute. This guy does that rope-a-dope thing. He might just be faking this Man. And just, like, storing it all up, and then he's just waiting for that one person to go too far, and then kaboom! Kapaku!
That rope-a-dope thing is one of the reasons why he is the way he is right now.
Yeah, that's true.
Because
that's the sad spin on it.
The theory of rope-a-dope was this idea that I'll just take as many punches as possible and let the guy tire himself out. Then I'll come alive at the end and when he's tired and take him out. That's what he used with George Foreman.
Yeah.
Now
George Foreman's
Rumble in the Jungle
doing fine, and
yeah.
he's not as much.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
George Foreman's selling grills.
Yeah, but George Foreman did have some problems because he can only think of one name for children.
That is true.
So it's you know, we all have our problems.
Speaking of fictional representations of Muhammad Ali, apparently that Creed movie is quite good, and I want to see that.
Okay,
yeah.
I think Rocky
7, you could call it.
Kind of thought of a title card, but I'm scared to do it because I don't want to do representations of Muhammad Ali. Get in a lot of trouble with that.
Yeah. Fair enough. Were you going to do the Superman Muhammad Ali?
Yeah, that's right.
I really love that one. That's one of my favorite things.
Yeah.
There was a comic that came out, Superman versus Muhammad Ali, when I was a kid. And it's got a really interesting cover, and it's all these celebrities of the time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like Sonny Bono's
sounds
in the
like
audience.
A lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah,
it's way too much work.
Yeah,
don't.
Like
Don't do it. You'll never get out the mixtapes. but it's a great cover, and it's a very fun comic book where Superman has to end up fighting Muhammad Ali, and there's some brutal fighting in it, and then they are the greatest together at the end.
Well, you know, he floated like a butterfly and stung like a bee.
Meaning he could only punch you once, and then he would die.
That's a real problem.
Yeah.
That's why he did the rope-a-dope.
Yeah,
wait.
One punch,
man. I gotta wait.
And like he won, but
turn.
He's dead. I don't know. Can you award to a dead guy? I don't know I don't know the rules of boxing.
Yeah.
Anyway,
do you think people nowadays know about him like the way that we did as we
nope.
grew up? Like I mean, I grew up watching him on Wide World of Sports.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's a weird thing. Like boxing now is so gone from our lives. But when we grew up, it was actually pretty popular. Like amazingly popular. It's mm-hmm. weird to think how popular. I mean, UFC popular.
Yeah.
Like, if it's strange that it's still popular.
Beyond that.
It's so weird to watch.
How many UFC fighters do you see go on The Tonight Show or the equivalent? You know, whereas if Muhammad Ali went on The Tonight
yeah.
Show, because the guy could talk.
Yeah, I was going to say, he was kind of an exception.
He was an amazing,
Sonny Liston didn't, maybe he did get to go on The Tonight Show.
But, you know, Sugar Ray Leonard, you know,
yeah,
he's a good talker. Yeah.
That's true. And George Foreman after.
Yeah.
When George Foreman first started fighting, he was a scary guy. Like,
mm-hmm.
he changed his personality entirely as he, you know, as well, I guess as his career ended, he's like, okay, I gotta be different, otherwise I'm not gonna get anything out of this. But if you
or
have
also,
you seen
you
that
don't
movie?
Have to, yeah, but you don't have to fight. Oh yeah, yeah, but you don't have to fight anymore, so you don't have to be angry anymore.
Yeah,
so you're fine.
Yeah.
It's okay.
But
know,
I mean, Muhammad Ali was fighting, and you know, he was entertaining. He would make jokes. He would, you know,
but he'd make mean jokes. Like he would,
yeah.
he would like he
you're
would
right.
like
he was kind of aggressive. In
he
that
was.
Sense.
He was.
Yeah.
He was fighting verbally.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you
even
see,
poor Howard Cosell took it hard.
Well, that was a funny thing because Howard Cosell was the big egotist.
Yeah.
And then you had like him being the big egotist. And it was these two blowhards going
yeah.
up against each other.
yeah.
And they both knew that they were good for each other publicity-wise. So they
yeah.
both had a good time with that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But you see like Muhammad Ali on like political shows. And, you know, they're asking you about Vietnam and this. And he'll just go at you like sharp.
Okay.
Like he's just like, and the funny side's gone, but the sharpness is there.
Yeah.
It's just like. He
is this
argues,
like from the 60s?
He argues like he fight 70s as well, early 70s. But yes, yeah, 60s
Because you know
as
he
well.
Like was banned from boxing for, I think,
mm-hmm.
a year
yep.
for not...
Fighting in Vietnam.
Yeah, because he fought the draft.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, it's interesting. Interesting story. I mean, the idea of losing a year out of your career is pretty... You'd think would be pretty be destructive to your career, but he recovered.
Yes, he did.
In a big way.
Yes, he did. And
he got to fight Superman.
Yeah, and then he fought. And then he fought Superman. No, it's.
Does that seem plausible? It's kind of like Spider-Man fighting Superman, isn't it? Just like one punch and it's over.
No, you guys. Because here's what it was. It was aliens that were trying to set up the match, so they put a red, basically the equivalent of a red sun over the boxing ring. So it got Superman down to normal human levels, you know. And
so he got his ass handed to him.
Pretty much, yeah. But. I think for some reason beforehand, Muhammad Ali was teaching Superman how to fight because he was going to have to fight aliens or something. Uh-huh. I think the deal was, and maybe I'm wrong, he had to fight these aliens to save the world, and yeah. So he asked for Muhammad Ali to coach him.
Yeah.
And then it was like, now you got to fight Muhammad Ali. What? Oh, my friend. Okay. And then they had to fight each other, and Muhammad Ali beat Superman.
I like how it ended.
Out of Superman.
I like how it ended when he. Put on his glasses. You wouldn't hit a guy with glasses on, would you? And then Lois went, Clark! That's a great ending to the story.
It is a pretty good ending.
Yeah.
It's a better ending than there was. Forget I said anything, anyone. folks, this brings us to an end of our time here at the old ranch. Remember Western? Remember that?
Yeehaw!
Yeehardy-har-har. Listen, I don't know if Dave's still offering this mixtape thing. He seems to have a lot of mixtapes to do. Give him a break for a little while.
I might start it up again.
If you're feeling cold over the holidays, you know what doctors recommend?
That's the other thing I need to do.
Multiple t-shirts.
I need to put some t-shirts up.
Need to put some new t-shirt designs up. Dave's going to have some new t-shirts designs up on the old store.
I have
store.
A lot of things on the back burner right
okay,
now.
Okay, cool stuff. I'm
a lot
doing
of stuff cooking. Got a lot of stuff cooking, you know?
You know, this is not how you do an ad, which is just like, hey, everybody, do you want an ice cold Coca Cola? We're trying to make them as fast as we can. People at the Coca-Cola factory, shut up! Stop selling the Coke!
We're running out!
Look, just go to our website, sneakydragon.com. That's where the shirts are.
Yeah.
Makes
Look
a great
sneak,
holiday...
merch. I think we're under
Why are you talking over me? Well, makes a great Sorry. Holiday gift.
Sorry about that. Didn't mean to talk over
Holy
you.
Holy cow. So any hobbity-hobbity-ho. if you want to write us, that is sneakyd@sneakydragon.com, or as Dave would say, @sneakyd, how you doing, everybody? Blah, 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 .com. We're also on Facebook, Sneaky Dragon. And, oh, he's pouting now. Oh, no. Oh, he's put his thumb in his mouth. And we're on Twitter @sneaky_dragon. And we do love hearing from you in any capacity in any way.
Yes.
And also, why not send Dave a mixtape? You know, he's got his...
You don't need to send anything to me.
Yeah.
You don't need to send anything to
why
me.
Why not send a sexy mixtape? Sexy songs. Mm. Why not? Make the garage door go up.
That's right.
Also, hey, folks, this might be a fun thing. Why not send in pictures of your own garage doors? Let's see what your garage doors are like.
Please, guys.
Why not? Do you have an old-timey kind?
Oh,
do you have a new-timey kind?
Sure, yeah.
Send them in. Dave wants to see those garage doors.
I don't even have a garage door. That's a great part of it.
Maybe for Christmas someone wants to buy Dave a garage door.
I'm a big hypocrite. I don't have a garage door.
All right. Is there anything more you want to say before we wrap up?
No, not really.
All right. Thanks so much for listening to our political rodeo roundup country jamboree.
That's rap artists.
Cartoon funhouse?
Y'all come back now, you hear?
I reckon. Well, I'm going off on my horse.
Happy trails to you.
There's more verses.
Fucking guitar door. Oh, garage door.
Boo! Shoot that horse, it's dead. Why would you shoot a dead horse? That makes no sense. That show was gelded.